Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Broadcasting, podcasting, radio, he does it all. Paul Kirch. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Paul Kirch. He's the podcast host of Boss Academy Radio. That stands for Business, Ownership, Success, and Strategies. He is an expert in the field of business startups, but his passion is broadcasting. CEO and founder of Actis Sales Intelligence, which is a firm designed to help companies sell smarter, Paul is here to talk to you about how he's taken his love for broadcasting and what he's chosen to do with it. So first of all, Paul, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Lynette. It's good to be back.
Now, do you have a quote that you'd like to share with everybody?
Absolutely. Well, the late, great Jim Rohn has inspired a lot of people. And one of the quotes that he had that I think really has helped me in a lot of ways is it says, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse. I found many an excuse over the years. So I love this quote because it really reminds me when I'm starting to catch myself making excuses.
Yeah, I think that's pretty powerful. And everybody can connect to that on some level, I'm sure. Now, your passion is broadcasting, which I find obviously extremely exciting. So can you tell us, how did this passion for you begin?
Well, it's kind of funny. I hosted a video podcast show with a gentleman in Atlanta. We were using Skype. I was in Dallas. He was in Atlanta. And we were doing this weekly show where we'd get on and talk about different business topics. And then we started bringing guests in. And we were using some pretty cool software to be able to record this kind of split window video call. And it was fun. And I really loved it. And then his business kind of took him in different directions. And I decided to kind of take a break from it because I wasn't ready to do the show on my own. But I kept like wanting to get back into it. I'd call him up and I'd say, hey, you ready to get that show going again? And his just business and his life was just taking him different directions. So I kind of put things on hold, but it gave me a real passion for getting behind the microphone and doing more. And I found myself, the more that I was doing it, the better I got. Well, I was at a networking event. Actually, web.com is a very, you know, large company that helps support the PGA Tour. They kind of have the precursor to the PGA Tour. If you're a golfer, called the web.com tour. But they host these small business summits at the large PGA events. And there was a couple of events here in Texas that I was going to. And one of them, I decided to go to the small business summit. And I remember signing up for it. It was a free event. And I thought, yeah, you know, maybe I'm not going to go to this. I almost didn't go because I thought it's going to be a sales pitch and I don't want to deal with a sales pitch. But I went anyway, and it was not a sales pitch. It was actually great content. But the speaker was really good, but she was kind of talking over the head of a lot of the people in the audience. A lot of the people in the audience were small business owners that, you know, there were some mom and pop shops, and some of them were a little bit antiquated in the way they ran their businesses. So a lot of the stuff she was talking about was online marketing strategies. And she was coming at it from a much higher level than I thought she would. And so a lot of the people in the audience were kind of lost. And I remember one person asking questions about YouTube videos. And he actually was fairly knowledgeable because he was doing a lot on YouTube. But the way she answered it kind of went over his head. And I caught that. And I guess I have a big mouth. We'll just say that. So I remember during Q&A raising my arm and saying, hey, I hope you don't mind, but this gentleman over here asked a question. I think he's still confused. Can I add some insights? And she goes, please do. She was very gracious. And so I offered some some direction and some feedback for him. And then I said, and also, you know, you talked about social media and sharing. Here's a couple of tools that I use and I would recommend. And then some other questions came up, and instead of directing the questions at her, they started directing the questions at me. And she was great about it. She was not at all offended. And so I kind of was chiming in and answering questions. And afterwards, I was handing out business cards to some people. I remember standing there, and I must have had 20 people come up and say, oh, that was amazing. Here's my business card. Let's talk. It was really cool. It was a nice experience. And this one woman was standing there, and she says, oh, you were great. I really enjoyed that. She goes, I'm the general manager of KVC Radio over in Dallas. And I said, oh, that's very cool. I gave her a card, and I said, do you have a card? And she goes, I don't, which is normally the, hey, don't call us, we'll call you type of thing. She goes, I forgot to bring cards, but I'll definitely contact you. And I said, okay. And she goes, maybe we'll have you on as a guest on one of our shows. I thought, well, that'd be cool. So about a week later, my phone rings and it comes across the screen saying KVC Radio. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I forgot all about meeting her. And she goes, oh, it's Robin Vallatuto from KVC Radio. Would you, do you have a minute to talk? She goes, we thought about having you on as a guest, but we'd much rather give you your own show.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, that's really cool. And she goes, yeah, after seeing the way you handled yourself at that event and then checking out your business and checking out what you do, she goes, we think you'd be perfect to host one of our business shows. So I went over and met with her. And after meeting with her and doing a couple of tests, she offered me a drive time show on Tuesday nights. And she asked, what do you want to call it? And I said, well, I've got this vision for this entrepreneurial support show called Boss Academy Radio. And she goes, I think that would be amazing. And so that's how it all kind of started. So it all started with my big mouth getting in the way, but leading to good things.
Now, did you have any kind of hesitations or challenges?
Oh, I was very concerned about doing it. You know, there is a cost associated with running an AM show, and they give you the opportunity to sell commercial time. And I thought, well, you know, this could be very fruitful. It could be a good thing. But yeah, I was nervous. And I remember the first show that I did. In fact, I was kind of lost on the first show. Fortunately, Robin was on air with me and she kind of drove most of it. So even though I was supposed to be the host, she was really did most of the talking that night. But I really got excited about it and started to kind of put some really good plans in place. The nice thing about a live radio show that's an hour long, it was basically 40 minutes of me on air and the rest of the time was commercial time and breaks. And so it was four 10-minute segments. And I found that four 10-minute segments is super easy to manage. In fact, it's not even enough time. I'd have guests on and I'd feel like I just started to dig in and you only had time for a few questions. So you had to get really good at getting them to the point and focusing on the message. Because I'll tell you what, they had floating commercial breaks, which meant that I might have a 10-minute segment and I could go over a couple minutes, but that meant that I was cutting time out of another segment. And you had to get really good at managing your time. So initially, yeah, I was really nervous about it, but I just ended up having a blast doing it. It ended up being just the greatest way to open doors. And, you know, people love the fact that I'd introduce myself as, hey, I'm a host on such and such show. And they're like, oh my gosh, you know, this is really cool. And I almost felt like it was a celebrity status out of the gate, which, you know, of course, if they knew behind the scenes, you know, once you've seen how hot dogs are made, you may never want to eat hot dogs again. You get to the radio station, you find out behind the scenes how, you know, how things really are run and how it's not as advanced as you'd think. But overall, the experience was amazing. And the production people that work in the radio stations, I mean, I don't think these people probably make a lot of money, but some of them are the most talented audio producers you're ever going to meet. And we had several of them that worked at the station that were just amazing. I've still got relationships with them.
The first thing I'd like to point out to my listeners, Paul, is the fact that you went to a networking opportunity. Secondly, you made the most of that opportunity. And had you just sat there and been quiet and not put yourself in the limelight and taken that step forward, you wouldn't have had those opportunities.
Yeah, and Boss Academy might never have come to fruition because, quite frankly, even though I wanted to do it and I thought it was a great idea, it's one of those things where if you don't take action and move forward, things die on the vine. And it was one of those things that was like a great idea that was probably never going to happen. The radio show forced it all to come to fruition.
And so my other question was, for an AM radio show, are you saying that you're responsible to sell the advertising for that show? How does that work to get a spot on an AM radio show?
So I had 9 minutes of commercial time that I could sell. And so it was actually, it's hard to sell AM radio commercial airtime because a lot of companies are really reluctant. They don't see the value. The AM stations don't give you listenership numbers the way that you get on FM. However, at the end of the day, there's a lot of small businesses out there that see a lot of value in that type of environment. So, you know, plumbing companies and things like that are willing to support. So it wasn't a negative. It just meant that it was more work on my end. So I basically paid to be on the air, but then in return, I was able to sell airspace.
That's super exciting. What do you think you learned about yourself during that experience?
Well, initially I learned that I really needed to work on my energy and my approach behind the microphone. One of the first things I struggled with is I was so worried about what I would say that I was not natural. You know, there was no voice inflection. I was kind of robotic. And then after hearing myself on the replays a couple of times, I'm like, ooh, I got to change that. So it forced me out of my shell. And I'll tell you, one of the things that years ago I had done is I used to make a lot of sales calls and I would do presentations over the phone or even in person. I started recording myself, and you always think that you sound different than you are. And I remember thinking that I was pretty good at doing presenting, and I'd record myself and I'd catch myself saying, you know, a lot of the pauses and it was just awkward and it was bland. And so I recorded myself doing this, and then I would burn it onto a CD, and I was living in San Francisco, California. I'm driving on the freeway listening to myself on these calls, and I would pull up to people at a, you know, stoplight or something like that. And even though my windows are up and I'm listening to this by myself, I remember being embarrassed looking over. It's almost like you think the person can hear you. And I remember just being horrified at how I sounded. So it forced me to become more articulate and better at that. The radio did the same thing. So a long-winded answer to your short question.
Well, as a public speaking teacher, I appreciate your long-winded answer and the content of it.
Good.
Okay, so if somebody is interested in broadcasting, do you have a book that you could recommend for them?
That's a great question. There's no books that I leveraged. I probably should have. You know, if you're interested in broadcasting today, I would tell you the smartest thing to do, and I did it, you did it, start a podcast. It's relatively inexpensive, and the medium is blowing up right now. I mean, a lot of the cars are coming out now with iTunes Connect in it so that you can have podcasting directly in the car. Podcasting is not a real time in the moment. I have to be there to listen to it. Yeah, there are live podcasts, but they live on in infamy, you know, especially through iTunes. So if you want to get into broadcasting, it's kind of like self-publishing. There's just no point in going through any other path. If you want to be a radio host and you want to get a syndicated show and you've got the right model, you can still start as a podcast and move it to a radio. The radio was an amazing experience for me, but moving to podcast was so liberating. And it's been a total game changer because the people I can reach now, such a broader audience.
And it's really cool that your podcast is actually still titled Boss Academy Radio. I think that's really neat.
When I started the show, she asked me what I want to call it. And the first question I asked her was, who owns the name? And if she would have said they own the name, I would have named it something else. But when she says, no, you own the name, it's yours. So no problem. Boss Academy Radio it is. And when I left, I just never changed it.
You just took it with you. This part of the show is the Motivate Me Express to Success. It's 60 seconds or under responses. And the three most important steps to acting, in my opinion. So first we envision something, then we explore it, and then we execute. So if somebody wanted to become a broadcaster or get into broadcasting, what should they envision or see for themselves?
First of all, see yourself doing it. And if you question your ability to do it, just start. I have so many people say, I don't sound good on the microphone. You know, I always used to jokingly say I had a face for radio, and that's why I was doing radio. Truth be told, I just really love doing radio, and it's so much fun doing audio. I do a lot of video, too. It's just a totally different dynamic. But, you know, once you start and you listen to yourself and you're self-reflective and you review what you do, you will become so much better, and especially if you go into it open-minded. You know, I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that probably think that they don't need to improve and that they think they're amazing. I want to grow every day.
Well, I think it's fun, too. If you think about yourself, if you're somebody who's in broadcasting, you probably very much love microphones.
Yeah, absolutely.
Envisioning yourself in front of that microphone with the headphones on, I mean, like we are doing right now, it's fun.
It is. And, you know, when I was in the radio station, one of the things that I loved was the expensive microphones they had were amazing. So when I started my podcast, I had a cheap microphone. And, of course, I had to go out and get a more expensive one because I it just sounds better. It makes you sound richer. And, you know, the result is a better production.
Right. Okay. So that's what they can envision. So what should they explore then?
Once again, get started. Do some recordings. Get yourself, you can go do Google Hangouts on Air and, you know, do your own little clip. You can record yourself on your PC and just practice. You can get a friend and maybe do an interview with them and say, hey, let's just have fun. Let's do an interview and we'll talk about what you're doing in your business. And start to figure out what you want the show to be about, what you want to accomplish and what the outcome needs to be for the listeners, and just have fun with it.
So it sounds like you're saying to just explore your ability and your capabilities and then explore your niche.
Absolutely.
So then to execute and actually take a step in the broadcasting direction, what do you think the first baby step would be?
Go out to... I'm going to give a couple of resources that I use. One is BSWUSA.com, and it's I think it's Broadcast Something Warehouse, but these guys are great. And buy yourself a decent microphone. You don't need to spend a ton of money, but if you call them up and tell them what you're trying to do, they will hook you up and give you just amazing advice on the equipment you need. You don't need spend a lot of money. Now, I mentioned having a decent microphone. You know, $300 will buy you an amazing microphone. $100 will buy you a really good microphone.
So to execute, get yourself the proper materials that you need and the equipment that you need to get started, a microphone being one of those.
Yeah, and there's some great free and inexpensive podcast training programs out there. In fact, if you're interested, you can contact me directly, and I would be happy to introduce you to some people that do. It's just that they teach people to build podcasts online.
Yep. And you and I both know a plethora of people who newbies could reach out to.
Of course.
What kind of closing advice would you give?
Have fun with it. You know, it's going to be something that will allow you to make connections you never thought you could. It's going to allow you to grow in ways you never thought you could. And if you get serious about it, don't forget to have fun with it, because it is such a great experience getting to interview people. And even when I do my own talking head shows where it's just me getting behind the microphone or getting in front of the camera, I just have a blast with it because I want to make sure that the outcome is something that people can learn from.
Paul, can you give us your contact information?
I sure can. If you want to learn more about Boss Academy, you can go out to bossacademy.com and check us out. We're also out on iTunes at bossacademy.com/iTunes. My Facebook page is facebook.com/BossAcademyRadio. And then on Twitter, you can follow me at Your Boss Academy.
Thank you so much for sharing your love for broadcasting. I think that had I experienced my life differently, I would have ended up in broadcasting a lot sooner.
Yeah, it's really something else. I never dreamt I would be that guy that fell in love with it, but it's really fun. And you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be an expert to be great at it. You can actually grow and just gain a lot of experience doing it.
I'm really excited to see where this is going to take you and where it's going to take me and a lot of our other podcasting friends.
I agree. The time is really ripe to get in. You know, after, I don't know if you went to Podcast Movement, but there's an event called Podcast Movement that takes place every year. I think in 2016, it's going to be in Chicago. And what a great experience to get around all these other amazing podcasters. And you find that people are sharing and giving and caring. It's really cool.
I had really planned to go this year, but because I'm going to be on my 50-state tour, I will have already passed through Chicago. I was hoping that would have lined up. It would have been great. It would have been perfect. But it's almost a month after.
Well, I expect to meet you for coffee when you come through Texas. That's all I got to say.
I know we're going to be near Dallas.
I'm in Fort Worth, which is, we're on the other side of the airport, real close.
Okay, perfect. Then we will definitely get together, and I'm going to be there for 2 nights.
Outstanding.
So awesome. Thank you again so much, Paul. So this is the end of our show, and I always give my listeners a go do. What do you think they should go do today?
I think they should go online, buy themselves a microphone or a headset, and just get excited about dabbling with this, trying to do some interviews, trying to do some videos, and just have fun.
I like that. And you know what, listeners? Make sure when you do that, that you're not too hard on yourself, because I'm going to tell you, after my first practice interview with my first format for my show, I went upstairs and actually cried a little bit because I thought, I can't do this. And actually, I came back an hour or two later, restructured what I originally had written, gave it a day or two, and tried again. And here I am.
So, well, can I add to that? Because it's funny you say that, but I remember, I think it was maybe the third show where I was solo at the radio station. Robin sat in the first two shows, and the third one was just me. And I remember getting done, and I had one period during the show where I was trying to think of a name, and I froze. And there was all this dead air, but the production people there were amazing. And the guy that was helping support my show played the Jeopardy theme song. So it was going, it was great. But I remember being really embarrassed and sitting out in the car, stressed about it, going, oh my God, this is, you know, I can't believe that. A friend of mine called me who had listened to the show, and he goes, oh man, that was amazing. You were so good. And he goes, that was really funny when the guy was playing the Jeopardy theme song. And, you know, we're our own worst enemy. And I remembered thinking, I can't do this. But that little call and that little encouragement made me realize that it's all just silly, you know, just who cares? Have fun with it.
And I have a big smile over here about that because it's so true. And we need to not take life so seriously.
Absolutely.
So that's it for today. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you, listeners. This is Motivate Me. I'm Lynette Renda.